It's once again Merry Monarch season. This year, the annual festival and competition celebrating ancient and modern hula will again have a notable missing component, ohia. A decision by some kumuhula not to use the endangered tree has been the product of outreach by the research community. Their goal since the deadly ohia fungus was first noticed by Puna residents to keep its prime vector, humans, from further spreading the disease has been very simply to keep us from making it worse. Christy Martin is Public Information Officer for the Coordinating Group on Alien Pest Species. She's in our studio. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I mean, here we are almost 7 years down the line from the time when we first began to have inklings that this was not just something that was a passing situation, but one that could really change forever how the Big Island was identified with ohia, and with ohia coming with the Merry Monarch Festival. What kinds of outreach have you been doing lately that seems to be changing a lot of minds of kumuhula, that, you know, all the identifications with the Big Island and Merry Monarch aside, that ohia this year really needs to stay alone and by itself and not be used for the festival?
Yeah, well, let me take people back just a little bit. You know, it wasn't until the end of 2014 that we found out that it was a fungal pathogen, a disease that was killing ohia. So until then, we really didn't know what to tell people. Well, with that discovery and with the realization that, you know, this festival really goes out and celebrates ohia and the relationship of the Hawaiian culture to ohia, we realized that there were people that were going to go out into the forest and they're going to do their gathering. And so our approach from the very start was to share as much information as possible about the disease and how we know it can spread, and that is by taking the pathogen from one tree and spreading it to the next. And that could be through gathering or through people walking through infected forests. And so only by communicating that with the kumu and the festival leaders, we never told anybody not to go and collect ohia. But we wanted to provide them with all the information possible so that they could make decisions.
The decisions that many have made to simply leave it alone, let it stay out there by itself, don't go traipsing through, seems to be a really good one and a logical one for a lot of reasons that we've heard for a while now. People sometimes have all the best intentions, but if you forget to clean your shoes properly or your vehicle or you become the spreader of the fungus. And people picking up ohia logs that have, you know, simply fallen down. What are you going to do with all of that? How do you get people to see something good that they can do with all of this stuff that just may be sitting out there and causing a problem?
Yeah, there are a lot of resources out there now. There's a lot of dead ohia. There's about 55,000 acres that's impacted by this disease. And so really what the team is doing, not just trying to do outreach and give people the tools they need to make decisions, but also trying to figure out, you know, people are going to want to use the wood. I was contacted almost immediately by a bowl turner saying, how do I get my hands on this beautiful wood that's stained with this fungus? I want to turn bowls. Well, the research team has found that if you kiln dry the wood to a certain temperature for a certain length, you can kill the pathogen in the wood, making the wood safe for use. And so our goal is going to be, how do we get these kiln drying systems out to each community so we're not moving the logs around to use them? So it's things like that where we're really trying to play catch up.
And also having one sense of, I mean, a sense of, well, here's the path in and here's the path out and here's the gatekeeper, which would be someone who would know how to treat the wood, and also to make sure that they're not trekking with, you know, shoes and vehicles, whatever, the pathogen around.
Yeah, sure. It's been very difficult to try to get information about this pathogen out. First of all, people can't see it. And the tree or the area may have the infection, and you not see it for a year. So it takes a long time for this pathogen to build up in a tree to actually kill it so you can see its impact. You may be going through what you think is a healthy forest and it be completely infected already. And so, you know, just trying to teach people that this is not like things that we've ever dealt with before. Here's the information you need. And then, you know, just trying to put up as many cleaning stations around as possible. And we're giving away free decontamination kits at the DOFA office, Division of Forestry and Wildlife on the Big Island. I mean, we're trying everything.
Back to the Merry Monarch Festival, though, the fact that it's going to look very different this year, as it looked different last year, too, but maybe even more so this year. How has the Hawaiian community responded from a cultural perspective in seeing that nexus between, or the nexus of culture and science, in trying to preserve something that's been so inherently important to the festival?
One thing we knew going into this, the team knew how much that Kumu and the Halau and the Merry Monarch Festival organizers and participants, they get it. They understand how important to hear. It's more important to them than anybody ever. And so we knew that, you know, if we just provided the information, then they would probably make more conservative decisions than we could have ever asked for. And when we saw the absence, almost total absence of Ohia in the performances last year, we were really floored. We were so grateful. And this year again, the festival organizers invited us to go and address the Kumu at their Kumu meeting and to just convey the most recent research. And we're again asking them to make a decision. We don't know what the festival is going to look like, whether the Kumu will decide to bring an Ohia from neighbor islands to the festival. That's certainly a possibility. That's not, you know, that's not unheard of, and it's nothing that's against the regulation. You know, the rule is actually that you can't take Ohia out of the Big Island to neighbor islands. But we just don't know. All we can do is put out the information.
Would that cause some confusion, though, to have Ohia brought in from elsewhere and maybe thwart the message that you've been trying to give all this time?
I think so. But, you know, thinking about messages is sort of my way of life. For Kumu, though, I think that they got it as well. And, you know, when they start talking to each other and saying, oh, maybe we really shouldn't use Ohia, I think their influence is much stronger than ours.
What about designated substitutes? Have you heard anything that has been specifically brought into that category?
I don't know if the conversation is extended to that. I know last year the Kumu were granted a one-time do-over for their materials list. You know, they have to turn in their materials list. It's part of the scoring. And we came to them with our information after they had turned in their list. And so last year they made a one-time exception where you could replace some of the materials on your list. If you had put Ohia down there, you could switch it out and use something else. This year they are assuming that everybody has heard of this issue, and they're not playing catch-up, so I don't think there's going to be any changes to the rules this year.
It's going to be really interesting to see how we all see what's out there come Merry Monarch competition time. I want to thank you for coming in, and best of luck as you continue to fight this. We can't really imagine what the Big Island would be like without Ohia.
Yeah, and we need everybody's help to help care for Ohia. Thank you.
Christy Martin is the Public Information Officer for the Coordinating Group on Alien Pest Species. It's a project of the Pacific Cooperative Studies Unit at UH Manoa and has been outreaching to communities statewide to prevent further impact of rapid Ohia death.